And Martin and Matt are going to come and bring our reading to us.
Our first reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 to 13, the parable of the 10 young women. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like this. Once there were 10 young women who took their oil lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and the other five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any extra oil with them, while the wise ones took containers full of oil for their lamps. The bridegroom was late in coming, so the women began to nod and fall asleep. It was already midnight when the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come and meet him." The 10 women woke up and trimmed their lamps. Then the foolish ones said to the wise ones, "Let us have some of your oil, because our lamps are going out." "No, indeed," the wise ones answered. "There is not enough for you and for us. Go to the shop and buy some for yourselves." So the foolish women went off to buy some oil. And while they were gone, the bridegroom arrived. The five who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was closed. Later, the other women arrived. "Sir, sir, let us in," they cried out. "Certainly not. I don't know you," the bridegroom answered. And Jesus concluded, "Be on your guard then, because you do not know the day or the hour."
The second reading is taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 to 5a. "There is no need to write to you, brothers and sisters, about the times and occasions when these things will happen. For you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come as a thief comes at night. When people say everything is quiet and safe, then suddenly destruction will hit them. It will come as suddenly as the pains that will come upon a woman in labour, and people will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in the darkness, and the day should not take you by surprise like a thief. All of you are people who belong to the light, who belong to the day." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for your word to us. And thank you that you are our light that shines in the darkness. And Lord, we pray that today, by your Spirit, you will reveal your truth to us. You will open our eyes. You will prepare our hearts and help us to hear all that you want to say to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Big wedding celebrations are quite a talking point at the moment, aren't they? We've had the big announcement that Prince William and Kate Middleton are getting married, and that news led to days of speculation. In particular, the media were interested in two questions. Where will the ceremony take place? And more importantly, when? When will it happen? Now, all kinds of people were coming up with all kinds of suggestions. And according to the Daily Mail, the 8th of July was the most likely date for the wedding to take place. I'm sure lots of other dates were hot favourites, but clearly many of them were wrong. So eventually we got the news, didn't we? The 29th of April at Westminster Abbey. Now, the wedding that's featured in this parable of Jesus was really quite different to the wedding that will be coming up on the 29th of April. You see, when weddings happen then, traditionally the bridegroom would travel to the house of the bride, and either he would go in and they would eat the feast there, or he would take her back to his family home for the feast to begin there. Wedding celebrations were big occasions and often lasted a week. And the time of the arrival of the bridegroom was not known. And so there was this situation where the bridesmaids would wait outside with lamps or torches to greet the wedding procession. And in this story that Jesus told, 10 girls went to wait for the bridegroom to arrive. But they were in for a very long wait. By the time there was a shout announcing his arrival, five of the girls were running out of oil. They quickly appealed to the other girls for help. But they wouldn't have had enough to share, and so these five foolish girls ran off to try and buy some more oil. And by the time they returned, it was too late. Now, I'm sure that the preparations for the royal wedding next year will be so great that no one will get a chance to miss what's happening. But Jesus' story was about much more than being prepared for a wedding. This was a parable about the kingdom of God, telling us that one day God would return and instructing us to be ready for that great day. So what advice does he give us in order that we might be prepared? Well, the first thing to note is that we are each responsible for our own preparations. The story tells that five of the girls were wise. And they were wise because they took with them extra oil. The other five girls were foolish. They didn't take any oil in reserve. Yet none of the girls had any idea how long they'd have to wait. In the end, obviously, their wait was longer than anticipated. But the five foolish girls couldn't depend on the others to provide for them. They had to go and get their own. When Jesus told this story, he was talking to his disciples right near the end of his life. He'd already tried to warn them about his death. Now he was trying to get them to understand more about the future kingdom of God. As he talked to them, they wanted to know how things were going to happen. When would they happen? What would it look like when God's kingdom was coming in full, when this age would be over? Now, I'm sure if we'd been there, certainly if I'd been there listening to Jesus, they're the kind of questions I'd have been interested in. But Jesus' priority was to make sure that they were ready for what was going to take place. And that meant an individual response from them, so that they got a chance to see who Jesus really is and they chose to live to follow him. You see, there are some things that you just can't borrow, as the girls in the story discovered. And for Jesus' disciples, it wasn't enough to have listened to his teachings or to have seen his miracles. It wasn't even enough to have been part of that original crowd that followed him and those who spent most of their time with them. What mattered most was that they individually recognised him to be the Son of God and trusted in him with their lives. And once that was true, when and how God's return came was irrelevant. What mattered most to them should also matter most to us. We know, don't we, from those questionnaires that people are often asked to complete, many people still consider that being born in Britain means they're a Christian. Other people consider their Christian upbringing, perhaps going to Sunday school as a child, maybe having parents who attended church, or even regular attendance themselves, makes them a Christian. But Jesus' story reminds us Christianity is not inherited, nor is it something that we gain by association with particular people. Just as the girls couldn't borrow oil from their friends, but they needed to have prepared themselves, so we too need to make our own preparations for the coming kingdom by choosing to trust in Jesus and follow him as we live our lives. This story reminds me a bit of that time when Jesus reinstated Peter after his resurrection. And Jesus had instructed Peter, and Peter looked around at another disciple and said, "Yes, but what about him?" In his reply, effectively, I think Jesus was saying, "You be responsible for your own life and make sure you make the right decisions and let him do the same." And I think there's something similar happening here in this story. There comes a time for all of us when we choose to trust Jesus ourselves. We can't depend on other people for our salvation. We are accountable for our own lives. So perhaps this morning, on this first Sunday of Advent, as we prepare to celebrate the birth of Jesus, maybe this would be a great opportunity for you to make sure that you are ready and to choose to trust in Jesus and to commit to follow him. Because there are consequences in not being prepared, as the story well illustrates. Having tried to borrow some oil and been refused, these five foolish girls ran off to buy some from a shop. And by the time they returned, the bridegroom had arrived. The other girls had gone in, and the feast had begun. Although they knocked on the door when they got back, they were too late. They missed out on the party. No one likes missing out, do they? To those girls, it must have seemed like they were waiting forever, obviously longer than they had expected. But at the crucial point, they weren't there, and they missed it. A similar thing happened in the US this week on a live news show. Some of you may have seen this, perhaps on the internet. The Seneca Bridge over the Illinois River had been replaced by a new bridge. And this old one was due to be knocked down. And it was something that had been treasured by the local people, and a large crowd gathered to see this bridge being knocked down. And the news show had cameras at the bridge first thing in the morning so that they could show the moment that it exploded live on air. And so on the screen was a picture of the bridge, and the presenters in the background chatted as they watched it. They waited. They commented that it's the moment that you look away that you miss an event like this. Still, they kept the picture of the bridge. And eventually, after moments of waiting, they cut to the weatherman. It was only a couple of seconds. And the weatherman said, as I'm talking, feel free to show the picture of the bridge. And they showed the picture of the bridge, and the bridge had been exploded, and it was lying in the river. Something like that, it just can't be relived. Once it's gone, it's gone. Maybe you know how that feels. Like the time that you'd been watching on the edge of your seat for the whole game and you went to the kitchen for a drink and you missed that all-important goal. Or the time you just took your eyes away briefly in the school play and missed that one word that your child spoke. If you don't want to miss out on something special, then you need to be ready and waiting. And for the girls that went for the oil, what they missed was a huge feast and a week-long celebration. It was the moment they'd been waiting for, but they hadn't kept their preparations up. And so when the time came, they weren't ready. And what Jesus wants us to understand is that if we aren't ready, we might miss out on the best celebration ever. Not just a week-long party, but an eternity with him. As the girls found out, there are consequences to not being prepared, which result in separation from the place that you might want to be. I think this is a topic that we as Christians maybe don't feel comfortable talking about anymore. When I was younger, there seemed to be a greater urgency to make sure that you were following Jesus and that you were right with God, because you didn't want to miss out. I remember musicians, and here I'm going to show my age, I know, like Larry Norman and Cliff Richard. I'm looking for nodding heads. I've got a few nodding heads. Matt's probably saying, "Who's Larry Norman?" But they sung these great songs like "I Wish We'd All Been Ready" and "Thief in the Night." And there was this sense that people were recognising the Bible says we don't know when Jesus will return. And we need to make sure we're ready in case it's tomorrow or even today. Maybe today there's a complacency that makes people think there's plenty of time and that we've waited so long it won't be yet, so we don't need to worry. Maybe we're just a bit uncomfortable at the thought. Jesus seemed to spend a long time in conversation with his disciples about this very thing. If you have a moment later, I encourage you, open your Bibles and look at Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25. They're long chapters and they are all one discussion that Jesus had about this topic. It was important for the disciples to recognise the need to be prepared and to know it's possible to be too late. How much more should we take this message to heart? And why shouldn't we? What have we got to lose? Doesn't our eternal life with Jesus begin that moment we choose to trust in him? Why would we want to miss out on that or delay it any longer? The girls in Jesus' parable missed a great celebration because they weren't ready. Let us learn from their mistake and make sure that we're prepared. So what can we do to prepare for Jesus' return? If we've already chosen to follow him, is there any more we should do? One theologian suggests the best way to be prepared is to live as though Jesus is coming back today, but plan as though he's not coming back for 100 years. That seems to get the right kind of balance. In our preparation to be ready, our attitude with God and with others needs to be what it should be. That means our accounts with God should be short. Our relationships with others should be healthy. Being ready isn't just one action, like the girls who just took one lot of oil. It's about a way of life, committing to continually live in a way that worships God, that serves him wholeheartedly, that reflects his love, that continues his mission in the world. It's about learning to live in the light of his love, learning to grow more like him, demonstrating his qualities, and leading others into his kingdom. Now, of course, we can't automatically become like this overnight. But with the right attitudes, with a heart that longs to serve God and fulfil his purpose, surely then we will be as ready as we can be. This is a great time of year to talk about getting ready for the coming of God's kingdom. Advent is all about waiting and preparation. Children are waiting for the day that the presents finally arrive. Adults are preparing for a time of celebration. And yet, because of the busyness, it's a time that's easy to lose focus on our own walk with God. Now, whether you're able to enjoy that countdown, as we will be this year with our giant Advent calendar, or whether you try your best to ignore it because it just reminds you how little time you really have got left to finish getting ready, I encourage you this year, please try and make the most of Advent by preparing yourself for the arrival of the Saviour. Perhaps it will be helpful to ensure that we focus on the presence of the Lord at some point every day. Maybe we need to be more aware of the opportunities God is giving to us to share his love or to speak to others about him. Is it time to revisit our walk with God? Have we found that it's become a routine and it's lost something of that relationship? Maybe there is a particular quality of God, a fruit of the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is growing within us. And we need to bring that characteristic out in our lives. Maybe it'll be helpful for us to go back to that time when Mary and Joseph were preparing for the arrival of Jesus and discover amidst their joy and their pain, as their plans were perhaps not the way things turned out, as they were isolated and pushed away, and yet as they committed to journey with Jesus, whatever the future hold, they discovered God and they held on to him. The story that Jesus told shows us we're each accountable for our own preparations. So as we begin this Advent season, I encourage you, don't miss out on the opportunity of eternity with God. Live as though Jesus is coming back today. Plan as though he's not coming back for 100 years. And use this Advent preparation to discover more of God this time. Let's pause for a moment's silence, and then I'll lead you in a prayer. Loving God, we thank you that you chose to come to our world because of your great love for us. Thank you that you are our Lord and our Saviour. And loving God, I pray for each one of us that you would help us in this time of Advent to remember afresh all that you have done for us, to commit ourselves to love, to serve, to follow you in all that we are and in all that we do. Lord, for those of us who feel like our walk has become something too familiar, that we do without thinking, and it's more of a routine than a relationship, help us to discover you afresh and know that we are walking and journeying with you. For those of us that you are calling to show your light and share your love, may we be ready for every opportunity that you give to us. And Lord, for those of us that haven't yet made that choice, give us the courage to trust in you with everything and to choose to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.